your talent, your treasure, your ability, whatever it is. I'll give you an example like this. Say, for instance, you got a load of bananas, right? But all of a sudden, transfer truck trailer pulls up at your house and has a 53-foot trailer full of bananas on it, right? All right, so all of a sudden you become what? Banana poor, right? So what are you going to do? You know you got a lot of bananas, and you're going to have to get rid of them because bananas go bad early. Is that right? So you got an expiration date on those bananas. So you're going to take those, you're going to call, you're going to get on the phone, automatically get on the phone with people. You're going to reach out to everybody, do you want bananas, do you want bananas, do you want bananas? You're going to try to put those bananas in places and faces to get rid of them. Is that correct? I mean, you're going to be trying to get banana pudding, banana whatever. You try to get it out of the way because you have an expiration date. You have been given this. But in the process, you can look at those bananas and say, I can make these bananas into a ministry. Okay? Because all of a sudden, you're going to have something. You're going to have a lot of bananas, and most people don't have a lot of free bananas. So, man, I don't know why I'm stuck on bananas. But y'all just mind. Y'all just stand with me. Some of y'all that do tomato farming, just put tomatoes in there. All right, so look at this. So all of a sudden, you got all these bananas, but all of a sudden, you got to say, okay, with these bananas, I can have a ministry. Because now when I'm handing out these bananas, because they're going to give life to some people, they're going to have joy to some people, they're going to help people in a real need. So all of a sudden, you become a person that's got a lot of potential. I'm going to give these bananas to you, and the reason I'm giving them to you is because God gave them to me, and I'm giving them to you. And on the other side of that, the reason I'm doing that is because Jesus once gave me something that I didn't have. He was full of righteousness. I had none. And he broke out all of his righteousness and gave me some of it when I had zero. Amen? So bananas is your new ministry to get to that. So all of a sudden, that's what we're going to do. All we do is we talk to God. God sends us somewhere, and we don't think we're capable, smart enough, good enough, talented enough, whatever the case may be. But all of a sudden, we know we have this resource, this talent or ability. We go give it out freely, and then we turn that into the gospel, okay? So here we are. We had a conversation with God. We're on our way to serve in the purpose of serving. Now we're having conversations, okay? That's kind of where we're going to get to tonight. Conversation, and then the overarching big view, conversation turns into action. Right, and we did the action part today. David fought Goliath, but in the process, there was a conversation prior to that. Right, conversation after the ministry, after the servanthood turned into a conversation. Your servanthood will turn into a conversation. Me and my wife was having a conversation on the way home. Then my son, when we got home, I don't know what it was this morning. Sometimes when you get a packed house in the house of God, sometimes you feel like there's a war going on, right? Because sometimes you can come to church and you can feel like I'm going for this reason, but God's got another reason. So there's a spiritual conflict in there. And I was wondering, I'm like, did the message connect? Did the message connect? I always worry about that. Don't try to meet me after church and console me. Kind of a perfectionist in some aspects. I don't think any message is good. I think they're all bad, all right? So, but then my son got home and he said, hey, that really impacted me here, okay? He said, it made me think, and we said the same thing on the way home. Sometimes when you're trying to get stronger in an area where you're weak, you have to neglect where you're strong to work on that weak area. So then that strong area then becomes a weakness too. Does that make sense? Because we can come in here and hold service with anybody. We can have preaching and singing with anybody. Any church in this country, we can have it. We can preach, praise, we can worship, all that. But our service side is dropped. So we're gonna boast that service side up. Well, in the meantime, guess what? We might have a drop down on this side, all right? But we're going to be willing to have that drop down on this side to lift this side up, and then guess what? We'll be stronger as a whole. Does that make sense? All right, so that's kind of what's happening. Now, all of a sudden, this conversation is going to break out. Let's look at 1 Samuel 17. Did I do enough talking to get us maybe into the message? I hope so. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep, and the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented themselves 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, no, we're way too far into that. Let me see this. Jump down to 23. Verse 23, sorry. Yeah, verse 23. And he talked with them, and behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath. Are y'all seeing that? Is that good? The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Okay, so guess what? He's presenting the cheeses and the bread and the wine, and then as soon as he gets that, he takes a beeline right down to where his brother's at. He goes right up to where all the warriors are, and he's wanting to hear what's going on with them, and he's going to get close. I knew his father knew that if he goes down there in this servant capacity, then he's going to be close enough to hear the impact. And guess what? He is the anointed one. He's got a calling on his life. Maybe he'll interact right there. More than likely, he's going to. God put him in that situation, so he's going to interact. So he gets there, and all of a sudden, Goliath comes up, and he starts the rhetoric. Send out a champion to fight, right? So he's having a conversation with his brothers, and they're back and forth, and all of a sudden, Goliath comes up. And all the men of Israel, verse 24, when they saw the man, fled from him and was sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel, he has come up. And it shall be to the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and I will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. No more taxes. That's all I've seen. Verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 26, he overheard the giant, he overheard the decree, he asked the question. But in the question, he does something that nobody else does. He talks boldly about the giant and about God. Amen? He talks boldly. He was like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this person talking about God's people and God loosely? Amen? Ain't that neat? See how the conversation now has turned. His servanthood, his willingness to get up early, to prepare his sheep, to get all the bread, the wine, the cheeses all together, get down to the battle in a total, man, you're talking about I wish y'all could get a hold of this. He looks like a total servant kid. A total errand boy. Amen? There are some jobs that you can get that will make you look beneath everybody. Amen? One of them is a gopher. Amen? A gopher, I don't want to tell some people this because somebody might get offended. A gopher is somebody that really can't do anything else, and you hope that they can go and get something and bring it back, where two things will happen. They won't be on the job, and hopefully you'll get one good thing out of them in that day. Does that make sense? Amen. I see some workers in here, y'all are smiling, and I see some other people, you might be the gopher. I'm just messing. But David, I'm being honest with you, in God's eyes is a king. Amen? In his dad's eyes, he knows that God has chosen him. But God has put him in a position to make him look like a gopher. Making him look like he's less than. Giving him an errand that a king should never take. Giving him a responsibility that, to be honest, any kid could feel. Amen? He could have sent bread and cheese and wine by anybody. I'm preaching better than y'all are hearing right now. I want you to hear this. Sometimes God will send you on a task that seems beneath you. He will strip you of all your pride and your arrogancy, and he will take all of your everything that you think is powerful about you, and he will put you in a place lower than. And when you are in that position, I want you to take inventory of two people. David did that when he went down to face a giant. So guess what? He put him in his weakest position right before he put him in his strongest position. Jesus, on the night of Passover, he got down in the floor, took off his only royal garment, the garment without seams, laid it aside and wrapped a servant's towel around him and washed the feet of every one of the men that he fought, that followed him. That's one thing. But then he walked into the Garden of Gethsemane and laid on the ground and prayed all night for God to not pour out the cup of wrath on him. But God, he said, but your will, not mine. But guess what? I want you to see this. Right before, when you see the weakness in the place where God has put you so low, the very next day is the greatest victories. Amen. The next thing was David beating Goliath. The very next thing was Jesus defeating all of our sins at Calvary. A lot of people believe the head of Goliath, a lot of people believe that Mount of the Skull was the same place that David brought back and buried that skull. That is the same place where Christ was crucified. I don't care if it is or not. I'm just telling you, you can see it this way. God does big things when you will humble yourself, lower yourself, and do the weak things to where he can get the strength. He said, humble yourselves in due time, and I will exalt you in due times. Humble yourselves. As Christians, sometimes you got to take the lowest place before you get to the highest place. You've got to do the thing that nobody else will do to do the thing that nobody else can do. Amen? I love that so much. He asked, what can we do? And the people answered him, and Eliab, his eldest brother. Oh, man, I love this. Let's slow down, verse 27. I got excited and got into the preaching right there. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. All right? So he told him all the things. But look, verse 28. Will you ever be misunderstood as a Christian? Can I ask you that? Will you ever be misunderstood as a Christian? If you do it right, you will. Amen? If you do it right, people are only going to see one side of it or one part of the story. Amen? One side of it or one part of the story. If you jump in, and I did that this morning partially, but if you jump in this story with David right here, at any time, you're only going to see one part of the story. Amen? So let's look at verse 28. And Eliab, this is the older brothers, the two older brothers. His eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? Was he present with him and the father's conversation? Was he there when Jesse asked him to come? Amen? Remember that. You might want to write and make little notes right there beside 28. A lot of times nobody's present when you and God have conversations. Amen? When God starts working on you and starts sending you and pushing you and prodding you, giving you burdens for certain things, giving you jobs for certain things, a lot of people are not privy to that. They're not in the room. Amen? But all of a sudden, you're on the way. Did he see the cheeses and the bread and the wines? Did he see that? Did he know that he was orchestrated by God? But did he know that he was ordained by God to be the next king of Israel? He did know that. Amen? But you're not always going to be understood. All right? The eldest brother says, why are you here? God, some of y'all, right? I don't want to rush past these things. We got plenty of time tonight. So I want you to get that. Why did you come down here? Please underline that. People are going to be asking, if you really get wild about serving God, people are going to ask you all the time, why'd you come down here? Why are you here? Why are you doing this? Amen? And it's almost derogatory, but they're going to be like, how'd you end up here? What are you doing here? Why do you think it's important? You're going to have atheists. You're going to have non-believers. You're going to have people that are another faith. Why are you here? Right? Why are you doing this? And don't you have anything better to do? Think about that. Do you have anything better to do? In my own, if I got real self and self-centered and all about me, yeah, I've got lots of things better to do. But God, but the Father, right? Let's go on that line a little bit. People aren't going to understand you. Watch this. And whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Good question. Y'all got that this morning, right? See, y'all think I'm crazy when I think of this stuff, but guess what? There they are again, them sheep pop up, don't they? His brothers are nailing him. Do you think, let me ask you this question. Do you think that his brother meant that in a good, positive way? Was it demeaning? Why are you doing it? Where are them little sheep that you keep at? Right? You know what he's doing? He's usurping authority over them. He said, you know what? If we were at the house, you know what you'd be doing? And do you know what I'd be doing? I'd be doing something important. You'd be out there tending them few little sheep. It's a derogatory. Listen, you and I know this is going, man, somebody write this, put this down. Some of y'all need let me say this. Kevin G. Shelton needs to get thicker skin sometimes. Amen? Someone's got to get thicker skin. When somebody gives derogatory, what do we do? What is that meant to do? It's bristle? Get upset, get mad, recluse, draw back, quit, go away, don't do. Amen? All he's wanting him to do is not be there. Amen? Why do you think the older brother's embarrassed? Because he's been down there the whole time and he ain't done nothing yet. Amen? He's been down there he's been down there a while. He ain't stood up. He ain't talked boldly. He ain't offended about God. He ain't offended about this uncircumcised Philistine railing on God. Watch this right here. Oh, this is good. Look at this next part. Y'all see it? Here it comes. I know. Man, that's good. I know thy pride. Lord, help us. I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Did he know? Did he know his pride? Did he know his heart? He didn't. He's guessing. This is an attack. Man, I could write a book right here just in my own life. Who attacks you more than anybody else in this life? Usually family. A lot of times it's family. You know why? They know where to hit you right. They can hit you right in the right spot because they knew you back before you got saved. They knew you when you were growing up. They knew what he knew about the sheep. And then he probably said, well, you know what? This joker's been fighting his whole life. I wonder who's been fighting his whole life. He's got 8, 7 older brothers. Anybody want to take a guess? You're either going to be tough or you're going to be dead. Amen? I know why you came down here. I know the naughtiness of your heart. You know what he didn't know? God sent him down there because nobody else had any fight in them. Nobody else had the anointing or the call to lead them through the fight. He sent him down there because he said, they are headless. They are leaderless. The king that is ahead of them is really not the king anymore. And I need to send the king down there. Even though he's not in the position, he still has the purpose. You're going to be amazed because you're going to run into people that they have the position, but they don't have the purpose. Amen? There's been tons of times I'm going, man, God, couldn't you use this guy smarter, better, done, He goes, yeah, but he don't have the purpose. Amen? He's operating because he won't be obedient. He's operating because he won't do what I want him to do. I want to put you in there because you're going to do what I tell you, even when you don't want to do what I tell you to do. Anybody in here serving God, and sometimes you don't want to and you have to anyway, man, that's painful. That's painful. If you really get, just fall in love with God and get out there, get on a limb with him so far that it's God or nothing, let me tell you what happens. He gives you these things where you're like, all right, God, I'm going to do this. And he says, no, you're going to do something totally opposite. And you're like, well, what if I don't? All right? Then you're going to be miserable. And you're going to be lonely. Okay, I'll just get on in that. That's so good. All right, let's get it. Let's go on. Verse 29. And David said, what have I? Oh, man, this is good. David's reply to his older brother in verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not cause? Boy, that's good, ain't it? It's rich. What did his dad do? His dad, we always connect it to our Heavenly Father. Jesus puts us in the right place in our servants. Then a conversation starts, and then all of a sudden, now our purpose is showing out. Amen? Now the whole reason you came down there, you thought you were going down there to serve. You thought you were going down there to help with this. You thought that, oh man, God's kind of crazy. I don't even want to go down there. I'm just serving cheese and bread. No, you're going down there where he can activate with you. Amen? So all of a sudden now, you've got a cause on your heart, right? Watch this, verse 30. And he turned. I'm going to end somewhere that's going to be really neat for you guys tonight if y'all just see it with me. Let's go a little bit further. And he turned from him and toward another and spake the same manner. Whoo, glory. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Verse 30. Do you see what he just said? He had that conversation with him and his brother, right? Then all of a sudden, as soon as he said, "Is there not cause?" he turned. God! David's, can you see him? I kind of see this right now. I can see it big. All of a sudden, there are other soldiers who are desperate for answers. They're in a fight for their life. Most people in this world right now are in a fight for their lives, their spiritual lives. And they're fighting a battle. And all of a sudden, somebody's got hope. Somebody's got an answer. Somebody's got a God calling. And all of a sudden, this man's standing right near the battle line, and all of a sudden, these soldiers are hearing. There's a man down here, and he's talking. He was talking to this guy. Now he's talking to his brother. And all of a sudden, he sounds like he's got answers. And all of a sudden, there's another group, and David shifts from his brother because he's no longer just there for his brothers. He's there for all of Israel. So he turns, and he starts talking to them and saying, "What would happen, God, Ed, get this, what would happen if a man was to stand up against that giant and defeat him, and what would happen to that man?" And they're all going, "Is there a guy? Is there a man who would fight?" Because the way they're listening to this man, this beautiful, ruddy teenager, almost talks like he would be the one that would fight. And it's a lot like Jesus. Because Jesus, when he came on the scene, he didn't look like the Savior. He didn't look like God. But every time he talked, people would say, "Sounds like the Messiah." I mean, we've never really heard or never seen. We don't even know if Elijah has came yet. But could you be? Amen? Could you be the Savior? I mean, it kind of sounds like you're the one. Because when you get around, listen, I can't explain this. I can't tell you how this happens. But when you get around God, and one person's got God, and you got God, something happens. Amen? All of a sudden, it says he moves from breastplate to breastplate. And sometimes you say stuff like, "I don't know, man, I just feel God in between us. I feel the Holy Spirit. Do you feel that? I got goosebumps. Oh, my God, what's going on?" It's almost like when Jesus walked with them on the Emmaus Road. They said, "Did our hearts not burn within us?" That's what's happening, because guess what? The anointed one has came down to the battle, and he's standing. The one who's going to win the battle is standing amongst the soldiers, and they're sitting there going, "My God, this guy." Just through the conversation, servants to conversation, and the conversation's getting good. Verse 32, and David said to, oh, wait a minute. Verse 31, and when David's words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. What? Man, if you watch David's life, and it's the same thing with Jesus, he didn't have to tell anybody a whole lot of stuff. It got carried by somebody else. If you're good with God, and God's called you, you won't have to tell everybody. They'll send for you. Amen? Listen, this reaches, let me say it the way we would say it. It reaches from the poorhouse, from the penthouse, to the White House. Amen? Because the White House is our highest office. We don't have a king. We have a president. Amen? So guess what? Down here right at the battlefield, listen, on the battle line, right where the battle is, praise God, hope started ringing out. Peace started ringing out. Love started ringing out. A warrior started coming up. One who was speaking like he had some kind of authority. And it got all the way. God, I wish y'all would let me preach to you. Somebody in that group said, "I've got to go tell the king. I've got to go tell him." Can you see that guy yet? One guy tells another guy, tells another guy, tells another guy. And this guy, he is running to the, where you see all these elaborate tents laid out. When you went into battle, they would get on the highest points of this mountain and this mountain. And the king would lay out all of his tents and all of his people and all of his wise men and all of his generals would sit under the tent. They would have meals. I wish, Gary, just get this, man. All of a sudden, there's this guy that's radical. Hold on a minute. Saul's just sitting there having a convenient, we can't win, we can't beat this guy, we can't beat Goliath, and we're just falling apart, there's nothing we can do. The guy's got, there's a pizza delivery guy. He brought cheese and bread and wine. And the men believe. And some of the leaders are believing. And I just come to tell you that you need to send for him. Because I know that you might have some answers, but he seems like he has the answer. Amen? Whoo! And Saul said to David, verse 32, and David said to Saul, he sent, 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed him before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go fight with the Philistines. Wait, stop. Did you see it now? Can you see Eliab? Some of you men, can y'all see Eliab? You may have got an older brother. I do. Golly, I wish that was my older brother. I love him. But that would have been so cool. See, Ronnie, going to see the king. All right? I'm sorry, that's what I would do. He knows I would do it too. I'd be like, hey, buddy. Got that argument on you, didn't I? Right? Man, but you see it? All of a sudden now, he was down here next to the battlefield, and all of a sudden, God is elevating him just because he went down there in servanthood, and just because this conversation broke out, because he was there to serve, the conversation has now got him in the presence of the king. And when he gets to the king, you're expecting, well, it could be intimidating walking in front of some people. He walks into that tent, and you've got crowns, and you've got kings, you've got warriors, you've got people that are battle-tested, and you've got a little shepherd boy who plays the harp. But what does he say when he walks in? Let me tell you this. If you'll trust God, if you'll put all your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ and follow him and trust with him, guess what? In time, you will stand before people and you will not blink at who they are, because you serve. You are serving at the pleasure of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there is none higher and there is none greater than God. Because if you convene with God, you can convene with man. And he walks in the room and he says, let nobody's heart be troubled. And you know what he was saying? God, y'all need to hear this. The same person that sleeps in the palace or the White House has the same issues as the person that sleeps in the poorhouse. We all fear death. We all have a expiration date. The poor man and the rich man both go to the same place. Amen? They all are worried about the biggest giants in their life. And finally, somebody stands up who's been anointed to say, don't let anybody's heart trouble. I will fight the battle. I will fight the battle. Aren't you glad that day when you found out there was somebody who fought your battle for you? Because one day, Jesus went to the Father, and he said, there's nobody else who can win the battle. And he said, I'll fight the battle. Send me. At 33 years old, unblemished and unmarked, I will stand between heaven and hell, between heaven and earth, and defeat every sin that's ever been sinned. Amen? I'm going to show y'all something. I told you I was going to end somewhere cool. Let me go. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, y'all ready? Are y'all ready? I'm about done, I promise, but y'all got to get this before we close. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. Man, some of your biggest, what's this? For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Y'all good? Watch this. I'm going to help you right here. Y'all go back to Eliab. Remember Eliab? Okay, wait, what's this? And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's. What? Did y'all get that? What was it to Eliab? It was a cut down. He was abasing. He was saying to you, there's something wrong. Godly bum. If y'all don't get this, man, look at this right here. He said, look, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And he says, I done the same thing to the bear. What you meant for a cut down, what you thought was weak, what you thought was insignificant, what you thought was a poor job, taught me the greatest lessons of my life. Eliab said, you out there in that sheepfold, ain't nothing. It's a weak man's job. I thought the same thing. But Charlie, in those weak places, in those scary places, I find I found a way to fight my biggest battles. I fought the lion and the bears that nobody else seen. The lions and the bears that are inside my heart and mind. I fought with God and nobody seen. But guess what else I done on the backside of that dirt, on the backside of that desert alive that you didn't get to see either? On the backside of the desert where David wrote most of his Psalms. God, I wish I could this. I fought many a battle nobody seen. But I learned to worship like nobody ever seen either. They seen me dance one time when the presence of God came back into Jerusalem. But that was never like I danced on the backside of the desert when nobody was back there but me and God and a few sheep and a dead lion and a dead bear. Amen. Can I boil this down for you to get it like this? Because we're kind of desensitized to this. I know I am. Let's just go back a little bit. Let's just pretend, okay? Let's just pretend. Let's say we're in a desert country, on the backside of the desert, and God's given us 5 or 10 sheep. There ain't no light. The moon's out that night. No moonlight. Barely any starlight. It's pitch dark. In the middle of the night, you hear the most God-awful roaring and growling and hissing. And you just see silhouettes throughout the night. And you're sitting there praying and you're hoping. You're thinking, man, I hope they don't get in here on me tonight. I hope they don't get in on my sheep. And maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, y'all just stay with me. 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Y'all know what I mean. If you've ever done anything late in the night, somewhere about 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, your head just starts to do this kind of bob. You ever drove somewhere real long and you refused to pull over till you got there? Amen? And all of a sudden you see a circus on the interstate. And then you realize there are no circuses. Come on, y'all stay with me. There are no circuses on the interstate. All of a sudden, David. And all of a sudden he hears the cry of a sheep that got drug out while he was nodding away and not knowing how it was all going to turn out. He turns, closes the doorway to the sheepfold, counts them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep, I'm missing one. You got to stay right here. And he goes to where the growling and the screaming is at its worst. And when he gets there, he finds a full lion or a full bear destroying what he was there to protect. And he goes to the working end, Charlie, the business end. He don't jab it in the back. He don't poke it in the side. It says he grabbed it by the mouth. Glory to God. And he slew it as he was looking at it. I don't know who you are. But after that was over, knowing it had to be mostly God and whatever is left of you, he laid that beast down in the field, picked that sheep up, walked back to the sheepfold, opened up the door, laid it in with the other sheep, closed the sheepfold, and turned around and praised God until daylight, running on adrenaline and Holy Spirit, saying, God is an amazing God. I wish I had never had this experience. I wish I didn't have to go through this. I wish I'd never had to fight this fight. That scared me. That put me in a place that I didn't even think I was capable of doing. God, I don't know why you did it, but praise God, I'm still alive and I still got 8 sheep. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know what you're doing with this, but I'll praise you because I'm still here. And then just a few years later, a whole nation's looking at you. And you're looking at a giant and you'd say, you know what? This reminds me of a time. If God will deliver in the backside of the desert, surely he'll deliver right here. I want to tell you, as a church, we're going to serve. we're going to communicate. And we're going to get into some action. And we're going to see lives changed. That's my whole purpose now. You say, well, we got this building. What are we going to do with it? We're going to fill it up with some of the most broken of broken and some of the most whole as whole. And we're all going to have a time together because we're going to reach into some places where the enemy has a hold of them. But we're going to charge in the name of Jesus. And when we see some of them saved and some of their lives changed and some of them baptized and some of them saved, we're going to shout and praise over here like you ain't never seen before. Let's all stand.